what Jesus has done for us in dying on the cross for our sins, providing a way of salvation and a way to meet him someday in glory. What a wonderful gift we have received from him in that regard. Thank him for him, for that. For devotional this morning, I'd like to think a little bit about a scriptural phrase that was going through my mind for some reason the last couple of weeks, which is sincerity and truth. We go way back into, yes, I'm sorry, I forgot to dismiss the children. I need to have a little note up here to myself, not to forget that, I guess. The children can go down for singing. Way back in the Old Testament, Joshua, when he was on the last part of his ministry on earth, he said these words to the children of Israel to implore them not to fall away from God. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Those words, sincerity and truth, the Apostle Paul used that term too. I'd like to turn to this passage, 1 Corinthians 5, 6-8, if you want to follow along there. He used that term also when he admonished the Christians, or the Corinthians, and Christians in Corinth not to, they had not purged out the sin that was in their church. And in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump of dough?" That's what he's talking about here. Leaven as a yeast is a type of sin. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Jesus said it just a little differently. He said, let's worship God in the Spirit and in truth. But it's much the same thing. Sincerity and in truth. And thinking about those two words, I think those two words are not synonyms, as first I might have thought, but they're actually two separate and necessary aspects that we should have in our Christian lives today. But the interesting thing about those two words is that both of them are very easily and very often counterfeited by Satan. So it's important that we understand them. In other words, truth, we know that truth is often counterfeited by him. But sincerity is also often counterfeited. So the first one I'd like to look at this morning is truth, because it's the easy one. You know, truth never changes. It says God is truth, Jesus is truth, and Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So if we believe that, I don't think we can ever be confused by what isn't true, like Pilate was when he said, "What is truth?" He didn't have that. But, and it's true, if we don't have a standard or a written revelation or a proof text from God, how can we ever know the truth? We'll be confused just like he was. But, so wonderful, we're privileged today, I think, to be able to hold the word of truth in our hands. I don't think that anyone would argue with that, or the fact that we can serve God without following that word of truth. But what about sincerity? The dictionary defines sincerity as free of deceit, genuine, earnest, and real. Free of deceit, genuine, earnest, real. And here's where my eyes were open a little bit to something new, and that is that sincerity really has nothing to do with truth. And by that I mean you can have one without the other. You can be sincere and not be in the truth, and you can also know the truth but not be sincere. So you can have it in both hands. For example, think of the Muslims and many other false religions out there. They're very sincere, but they're wrong. They're not in the truth. Here's what Paul said about sincerity. 2 Corinthians 1:12. "Our rejoicing is in the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in this world." So sincerity, genuine, being free of deceit, earnest, real, that's something that we should live. That's how that God wants us to live. But again, the false religions are filled with such people. They're earnest, they're genuine, they're sincere, And I think sometimes we fail to recognize as Christians that sincerity has two faces there, just like truth has two faces. And maybe we've been influenced a little bit by the world's value of sincerity, because the world does value sincerity an awful lot. In fact, they value it so much, I think that might be a real reason why that there's this prevalent idea out there that all roads lead to God. They see all these sincere people in these religions, they say, oh, well, they're sincere. Must be there's something there. And so they jump to the conclusion that there's many roads that lead to God. They make sincerity to be a virtue even when it's misplaced. And I think that's a very important point that sometimes we as Christians fail to see, and we fall into that same logic. We look at sincerity as a virtue rather than as actually an attitude. And when the sincerity is misplaced, we cannot give it credence. For instance, if we see a person who is earnest and sincere and vocal and bold about his faith, and yet he's not living according to the truth, what do we do? Do we give him credence and say, well, he's seeking, he's trying, he's sincere? Well, so what? These people are sincere too. There's a lot of sincere wrongly people out there, or sincerely wrong people out there. And so I don't think we should be using worldly values by judging someone by sincerity instead of by the truth. And if you stop and think about it, the very worst damage the church has always received or suffered down through history has come at the hands of sincere Christians, if you think about that a minute. For instance, doctrine. Think of John Calvin and his idea of once saved, always saved. About discipline. Think about the Protestants who burned the heretics because they didn't believe the way they do it. And they had just left the Catholic Church who had done the very same thing. So a lot of sincere error, call it, has come into the church. And that's true very much on a personal level, too. We as Christians are much more likely to be led astray by someone who is sincere, a Christian who looks sincere, than by some worldly, blatant, non-Christian thing. But should we be judging their sincerity, or should we be judging their truthfulness? Well, Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. He didn't say, being sincere is going to set you free. No, it's truth. Actually, sincerity is a completely invalid measurement for measuring spirituality, or to measure where one is in his condition with God. It's very dangerous and even stupid to be thinking that being sincere is going to get you anywhere if you're in the wrong. You have to be. I guess in closing here, I'd just like to point out something new to me, that sincerity isn't really a very good thing to go by. While we have to, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be sincere. We must be sincere, yes. But it's easily counterfeited, just like truth is counterfeited. And when someone is in error, and they're sincere, it doesn't really matter if they are falsely sincere or really sincere. It leads to the same place. We sometimes talk about false sincerity. That's when someone pretends he's sincere, but he's really not. But that person is just as an error as the person who really sincerely is wrong. In fact, I would say that that person is probably in a more dangerous situation, because at least he knows he's not right and that he should change. The person that is sincerely wrong doesn't even recognize. He has no feeling of guilt. So in closing, I'd just like to warn ourselves that we shouldn't be deceived by sincerity, because that is an inaccurate gauge, let's call it, for one's standing with God, or the fact that that we need to be right with him in truth. I think maybe probably one of the primary reasons for these cults and for people to fall away and follow a person, when you look at what they believe, you say, why in the world did that person ever follow this cult and end up killing themselves or whatever? It's probably more than anything else because they judged that person by his sincerity and not by what he actually said. But they looked at his sincerity and they said, ooh, this person's authentic, he's right. And they don't think that's a valid way to judge. For that, we need to use the Word of God. I'm thankful that we have the Word of God this morning to not stray from the truth. We know what it is. Okay.